2 Waldorf, WKYS HD2 Washington, WMMJ HD2 Bethesda, a Radio 1 station, and worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
Welcome, NBA fans. Tonight, NBA.
Man, nothing beats seeing an NBA game in person.
Hey, buddy, thanks again for driving. So, where are our seats?
Oh, we're sitting right around the corner.
Hey, but before we do anything, let me stop for a second at the designated driver booth and make the pledge.
Excuse me, sir, did you say designated driver?
Yeah, I'm the designated driver tonight.
Congratulations, you are a winner. And for being the designated driver and always buckling up, every trip, every time, you have won the adoration of your friends and family who will get home safely from the game.
Cool!
Your prize also includes the gratitude of all of the drivers on the road who won't have to fear for their lives. And finally, you've won the chance to follow your favorite NBA team to the NBA Finals because responsibility has its rewards.
Woo! Yeah!
To find out more, visit the designated driver booth at the arena or visit RHIR.org. A message from this station and Team Coalition.
I can make an impact in the world. As young people think that we can't make a difference, but not only we can make a difference, but sometimes we can make the biggest difference.
We wanted to be the doers and we wanted to be the changers.
You just have to find something that you're passionate about and use your talents and your abilities to volunteer.
Volunteering doesn't have to be a chore.
It really is a reward in itself.
It helps you get farther in life.
There is no better feeling than helping somebody else.
You could see one person smile. You could tell they needed that smile, and it could really change and open up your heart to new things.
A lot of things are really competitive about individual achievement. Volunteering is a way to take a step back from that.
See a need, gather friends, and change the world.
Changing someone's world.
It happens now. This is the time. And this is when you learn, so why not start?
Are you a young volunteer making a difference? Apply for the Prudential Spirit of Community Award. Visit spirit.prudential.com.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn those earrings today. I like those earrings. Gabby has those awesome earrings. I need to ask her where she got those, but that's just what she would want me to do. I'll have Michaela ask her for me.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Yeah, but then Michaela will be like, why don't you just ask her yourself? That's just like Michaela.
Sarah, buckle up.
Michaela's such a great name. I wish I was called Michaela. There's like a dozen Sarahs in my class.
Hey, we're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh yeah, seatbelt. I forget sometimes because my brain is like busy, you know? I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
Sometimes it can be tough to get through to your kids, but it's not impossible. Always make sure they're wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Remember, you have the keys, you have the power. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
News Talk 1450 WOL, Washington, D.C., a Radio 1 station, and worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
Welcome. Welcome to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I am your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell. Welcome to all who are listening live throughout the world on Radio 1, Station 1450 AM, WOLDCnews.com, and LawTalkWithEthelMitchell.com. We have a great program for you today. We're going to talk about the importance of voting, and we're going to talk about the challenges that are being put in front of people, both legally and practically, to that right, which is very, very important for us to know throughout the country. This program is brought to you by Equity Resources and by my law office, Wills and Trusts, where I prepare wills, trusts, power of attorneys, and advanced medical directives. So if you or someone you know needs a will, a trust, or assistance administering an estate, give me a call at 202-772-1988. That's 202-772-1988. This program is dedicated to the law because the law is really powerful. It can help you or it can hurt you. And our subject today really highlights it as a broad societal thing. The law impacts everything that we're able to do. And what you don't know can really hurt you, but what you do know empowers you. So each week, Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell aims to empower you by bringing you lawyers and other professionals to share their expertise. But remember, what you hear on the program is for information purposes only. No attorney-client relationship is established by anything said on the program. Each person's circumstances are different, and you must seek individual counsel for any situation for which you need legal advice. All of our programs are archived on LawTalkWithEthelMitchell.com. So if you missed a program, go there, and they are posted by my webmaster, Earl Hooks. My executive producer, Stacy Royster, and Radio 1 engineer, Daryl Farley, are ready to receive your calls. So please call in at 1-800-450-7876, 1-800-450-7876. We want you to be part of the conversation. As often we say in a democracy, the vote is where the power is. The vote is the ultimate power in our government. And that is true not just in presidential elections. You see what happened when we all went out to vote. We elected a black president. We didn't do it by ourselves, but certainly our vote mattered. What's really important right now as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the landmark Voting Rights Act is that we have to continue to do that, and we have to do it in what we call local elections. Not just in, it's important in the presidential election, absolutely, but we have to do it when in elections for mayors, for sheriffs, for board of education, for all those kinds of things. And we have to remain vigilant about voter education and voter protection. We have a real expert with us today. Attorney Marcia Johnson Blanco serves as the Voting Rights Project co-director with the National Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. She is the co-director of their Voting Rights Project, where she manages the project's programmatic and advocacy portfolios, which include leading election protection, the nation's largest nonpartisan voter protection program. It oversees the work of the National Commission on Voting Rights, promoting election reform, ensuring minority participation in the redistricting process, which is really important, and ensuring that those with felony convictions also regain their right to vote. Attorney Blanco received her JD degree from Villanova University School of Law and a Bachelor of Science degree in Linguistics from Georgetown University. She's recognized as a leader in voting rights who has participated in countless voting rights discussions at conferences and in the media. She also coordinates the Lawyers Committee's international human rights initiatives and has worked on many reports discussing the U.S. compliance with important treaties in international conventions on the elimination of all forms of racial discrimination, and that's throughout the world, by the way, and the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. She's presented before the reviewing bodies during treaty reviews in Geneva, Switzerland, and she additionally serves as the co-chair of the Convention for the Elimination of Racial Disparity Task Force of the U.S. Human Rights Network. Welcome, Marcia. I'm delighted to have you as a guest.
Thank you very much. I'm really happy to be here with you this morning.
Thank you for the work that you do. What I want you to share with my listeners is, first, tell us a little bit about the Lawyers Committee, the National Lawyers Committee. We've had several people on from that committee. It's quite an organization. So tell us a little about the work you all do.
Yes. Well, the National Lawyers Committee was founded by President John Kennedy in 1963. He called the private lawyers to the White House and said, "We need your help." Mm-hmm. You know, the question was, where are the lawyers in the fight for civil rights?
Uh-huh.
And from that meeting, the organization was organized to fight. And the first fight that it took on was voting rights in Mississippi. Because remember, at that time, Mississippi was ground zero. Well, the South
and Nina Simone
zero,
had a song about Mississippi. Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
And so we started there working on voting rights, but we've expanded and we work on employment discrimination, education discrimination, housing discrimination, and we do so in three buckets. Litigation, which is very important,
mm-hmm.
but we can't rely only on litigation for civil rights enforcement.
Uh-huh.
So we also have programs, such as you mentioned, the Election Protection Program and voting,
mm-hmm.
to provide voters with the resources and information that they need.
Yes.
In order to be able to cast a vote and also make sure that vote will count.
Yes.
And then
yes.
we also do advocacy
mm-hmm.
before both the Congress and state legislatures. So again, in the voting context, right now we have a weak Voting Rights Act.
What does that mean? To explain to my audience, because we hear it on the news, but what does that really mean? What does that mean as a practical matter? Tell us, please.
Yes, so what happened in 2013, the U.S. Supreme Court took away one of the most important provisions of the Voting Rights Act, and that provision was Section 5. And what it required was jurisdictions with a history of voting discrimination, anytime they made a voting change, they had to submit that voting change to either the Department of Justice or the District Court, the federal court here in D.C., to have it reviewed to see whether it discriminates against minority voters.
Mm-hmm.
And that voting change could not go into effect until it was reviewed and approved.
Okay.
And so what the court did in a case which was Alabama, of all places,
mm-hmm.
challenging the constitutionality of this provision of the Voting Rights Act,
mm-hmm.
the court decided that the formula that determined which jurisdictions were subject to that provision that
mm-hmm.
had to submit their laws for review.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the jurisdictions, they were Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama.
Oh, the worst
North
ones.
And South Carolina. Those with a history of discriminating yeah. against voters. And what is so important about this provision is that there was a recognition at the time the Voting Rights Act was passed in 1965 that you would litigate against discriminatory voting changes,
mm-hmm.
and then you would win, and mm-hmm. then what those jurisdictions would do, they would put another one in place.
I
so
see.
So is it a literacy test? You would fight against
that. Oh, God,
that.
Those were awful.
Then it's the grandfather clause.
Mm-hmm.
Then you need a voucher for some to be able to register to vote. You know, each time you fought one successfully,
mm-hmm.
they would come up with a different scheme.
Okay.
So Section 5 said, no, before you change, make any voting changes, you would have to have that reviewed, and you state would have to show that it does not discriminate against minorities.
Okay, so that was knocked out. What happened as soon as in 2013? What happened? Tell us.
So the court decided that it didn't say that the law was unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
What it said was that the formula that decided which states had to submit the law was unconstitutional, but that in effect rendered the law useless.
Okay.
Because if you can't determine who has to submit under the law,
mm-hmm.
you know, the law can't be used.
Okay.
And showing the importance of the law, you know, we the day before the 50th anniversary on August 6th of the Voting Rights Act,
mm-hmm.
there was an important victory against the Texas voter ID law.
And well, now, let's go back. Texas made something. Was Texas one of these states that had
Texas
to submit before? Okay, all right. That's
before.
My home state. I know them very well, unfortunately. Okay, so they, as soon as this law got struck down by the Supreme Court, did Texas do something?
So in 20...
Oh, wait a minute. We have to take a break. No, we can go on? Okay. Okay. All right. Go on. Uh-huh.
So Texas, in 2012, passed one of the most restrictive voter ID laws in the country.
Mm.
And because they were subject to this provision, mm-hmm. they submitted it to the Department of Justice. The
uh-huh.
Department of Justice said, no, you can't use this because it discriminates against minority mm-hmm. voters.
Mm-hmm.
So they also had the option to then take it to the D.C. District Court,
uh-huh.
federal court in D.C. So they did that.
Mm-hmm.
And right before the 2012 election, the court ruled and said, no, you can't use it. It mm-hmm. discriminates against minority voters.
Okay.
So in 2013, when the Supreme Court said this provision can no longer be used because mm-hmm. you're taking away formula
mm-hmm.
about which states had to submit,
uh-huh.
that same day, Texas's Attorney General, Greg Abbott, who is now the governor of Texas,
oh, God.
Said that law
uh-huh.
that DOJ said was discriminatory and the federal court in D.C. said was discriminatory,
uh-huh.
we're going to implement that law.
And there's nothing we can do about it.
Well, we can do something about it, but the difference between the Section 5, which stopped it before it could be implemented,
uh-huh.
is that there's another provision of the Voting Rights Act. It's a permanent nationwide provision called Section 2, which says you can't discriminate on account of race, color.
Mm-hmm.
But the law could still be in effect while you're fighting.
So for years, you could be discriminated against before
even,
you could...
Right.
Yeah.
So even in right before the 2014 elections,
mm-hmm.
the district
they tried
court
to make
said,
it, yeah.
this law is discriminatory, not only has an effect of discriminating against minority voters, but it also was passed with the purpose
of discriminating.
Of discriminating.
And they did it anyway. Okay, when we come back from break, we're going to talk about the practical side of this.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Thank you. Thank you.
1450 WOL, where information is power.
Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell is sponsored by Equity Resource, a development, construction, and investment firm that is transforming properties throughout the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Our mission is to develop properties at a high level of value, a low-risk investment property. Choose Equity Resource. Call us today at 202-621-6632 or visit our website, equityresource.net.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? But everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information.
Hey, listen, next time
you're
hungry,
brought to you by
stop
the U.S.
by
Department
Torrey's
of Health and Human
Restaurant.
Services, AdoptUsKids,
right.
and the
Ad. Northwest V Street and Georgia Avenue, right across the street from Howard University Hospital. Torrey's Restaurant. Torrey's Restaurant. Now, if you like good food, then this is where you need to be. Torrey's Restaurant. They got breakfast all day, low country cuisine, also lump crab cakes, short ribs, and a whole lot more. And they got this daily special. Mondays, Ask the Chef Day. Wednesday, beef liver with onions and gravy. Thursday, meatloaf with gravy. Friday, fried whiting with hush puppies. Two sides, bread, iced tea, lemonade, or mix. Ask about our catering service, too. Call ahead for carryout. 202-462-3700. Torrey's Restaurant, 700 V Street at Georgia Avenue, Northwest D.C. Right in front of Howard University Hospital. That's Torrey's Restaurant, 202-462-3700.
This is Shaquille O'Neal.
And the Shaquettes.
Reminding you that anytime.
Anytime.
Is a good time.
Good time.
For the cooling, drying, fresh scent of Gold Bond powder spray. Like after the gym.
Or a crowded elevator ride.
Or golf.
Or working with farm animals.
Or a hard day's work.
Like sports casting.
You said it, ladies. Stay cool with Gold Bond powder spray.
Stay cool with Gold Bond.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The
only thing I didn't learn...
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
Welcome back. You're listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell, and we're talking about voting with our expert attorney, Marcia Johnson Blanco, from the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. During the break, I asked Marcia to explain to me, and I want her to explain to you, the factual background behind why this impacts Black and Latino voters more than anybody else. And she told me an amazing thing, that under the new Texas law, over 700,000 people were basically disenfranchised. Can you, most of whom were Black and Latino, explain to us why that is? Because as a person in a city, it's hard to imagine. So explain to us what this new thing did.
So when Texas passes voter ID law, mm-hmm. they didn't say you can use any ID to vote. They were very specific about the types of photo ID that you could use to vote. And so they said you had to be a government-issued photo identification.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was either a driver's license or a state-issued ID, a military ID, or a passport. Interestingly, they said you couldn't use a state university ID.
Okay, so students.
Students, no, you couldn't use their ID. But you could use a concealed carry gun permit in order to be able to vote. And so this is something that factored into the court finding that the law was discriminatory, because they really targeted the type of voters. If you didn't have a car and you don't have a driver's license,
mm-hmm.
then you are not going to be able to vote. They did not include your voter registration card.
So even if you had a voter registration card, that wasn't enough to vote?
It wasn't one of the IDs that they said you needed to in order to vote. So in the litigation that we did, we had experts look at how many registered voters do not have one of the IDs.
And these are probably registered voters who voted for you know who.
Right.
And how many were there?
And so the experts found, based on the data given to them by the state,
mm-hmm.
that as many as 700,000 registered voters who were predominantly minority voters did not have one of the IDs that the state said you needed to vote. And another piece of it is, in order to get one of the IDs, let's say, for example, the driver's license.
Right, let's go back. 700,000 registered voters.
Registered minority, predominantly minority voters
did not have one of the IDs that was also additionally required by Texas by this new law.
Right.
Okay, so that knocked all those people out. And the only way in which they could get an ID that was acceptable was what?
So in order to get an ID, let's examine the most popular ID is a driver's license ID.
Right.
So in order to get a driver's license, you had to show a certified copy of your birth certificate. Not just any copy you might have, but the one with the emblem and the stamp on it.
Yeah, yeah, which a lot of people don't have.
No, right. And then in order to get that, you have to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
And in Texas, it was $42.
Oh, my God.
And so we had a witness in the trial. You know, we asked, why didn't you get the ID?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I had to choose between putting food on the table
mm-hmm.
and getting a birth certificate. And what she said is, I can't eat the birth certificate.
Right, right.
Because, you know, there are people who, you know,
they're struggling.
Paycheck to paycheck, they're struggling.
Yeah, they're struggling.
Having to spend the money.
So we're going back to the old-fashioned discrimination that they used to do 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah, one of the things that the law knocked out was a poll tax, you remember? And
this yeah.
particular witness even talked about scraping together the money for her grandmother to be able to pay the poll tax.
Yeah.
So she could vote back in the day and, you know, full circle right back there.
And we're back into that.
Exactly.
Okay, so listeners, if you sit down and you do not vote, this is the kind of thing that your so-called elected officials will do. And in Texas, they are, I was very upset that I found out that a district attorney who had been in the forefront of getting innocent people out of jail lost his election by a few thousand votes because people in his neighborhood, he was black, they didn't go out to vote. So anybody in Texas ought to, at the very least, go out and vote. And find out who voted for this law and get rid of them.
No, that's a really important point, is because we hear a lot about the races at the top of the ticket, the presidential race, but
yeah.
your sheriff, your city
yes.
council, your mayor, school board representatives,
yes.
they're all elected.
Yeah.
And those are the races that affect our day-to-day lives
yes.
and the ones we should be paying attention to.
Yes.
The prosecutors who decides who is going to be prosecuted.
And for what?
And for what.
Right.
And in some states, even judges are elected.
Yes, in Texas, a lot of judges are elected.
And so these are the races that people should be paying particular attention to because those are your day-to-day.
They affect your life.
They affect your
yes.
day-to-day life.
We have a caller on the phone. Carol? Hello? Hello, Carol?
Regarding the voting
yes.
for Americans. I have two questions to ask you, Attorney Mitchell. Are black Americans, are we full Americans now, citizens, full citizens?
Yes.
Well, then why are we the worrying about the way they do Amendment 15? If I have a right to vote, and when I travel all over the world, they don't say to me, oh, you're a black American. They don't say that when they see my passport. They just say, oh, yeah, you're American, then go on through. So, I mean, it sounds to me like a fait accompli, like a waste of time.
It would be a waste of time if the effect of our voting was not diluted. But it is diluted. The reality is, in this country, for 300 years, we were not full Americans. And the reality is that there is a group of people in this, or there are groups of people in this country who want to do what was done after Reconstruction. Okay? We are in a wonderful situation where we've brought in a black president and so on like that. And there are racists in this country who want to put us back in our place. And they're doing it in a way, just a minute, just a moment, please.
Okay, sorry.
The way in which they do it is by using the law. And I've brought on an expert who is showing us how, as a practical matter, they use the law to disenfranchise us. So these people, this 700,000 people in Texas actually already have registered to vote. We can assume that they have voted in the prior election, and they voted in a way that the Texas legislation did not want them to vote. And so they elected or they passed a law that disenfranchises these people. And in effect, they take away, through law, you know, our rights to vote. And if we don't get out and exercise those rights, if we don't get out and remain vigilant and use our rights and keep up with the people that we're voting for to make sure that they're voting in our best interests, then we're going to go back like we did after Reconstruction, and the Dark Ages will come back. And it will be all done legally.
May I counter just a little bit of what you're saying, please?
Yes, yes, but...
All right, now, I feel that, and I know this is a reality, the Dred Scott case no longer is effective against blacks or African Americans. So I just feel this way. I have the right to vote, and I'm going to use it. I would take my car and help anyone who needs to go and get the proper registration, but I'm not going to get more gray hairs worrying about something that, to me, is already accomplished, and that is we are first-class citizens, and I have a right to vote, and I'm going to vote.
Good. No, I'm glad of that. That's what we want you to do, okay? That is definitely what we want you to do. And what we're encouraging people to do is for those who do not have, whose right to vote has been compromised by these laws that are being enacted all over the country, all over the South in particular, by redistricting, which totally, you know, makes your right to vote count less, shall we say. We are going to be bringing you information about where this is happening, how it's happening, and what you can do to counter it. And it's important for people to know, for people like yourself who have whatever they need, and you're going to get out and vote, and thank you for helping others to get out and vote. That's what we want to have happen. But not everybody is so lucky. Not everybody is so lucky.
You sort of made me know that the law says we have the right. Now, there's other little frills that we can work on, but we have the right. You walk in there, you got your ID and that kind of thing, you can vote.
Yes, but if the ID that they are requiring, if you don't have a concealed gun permit in Texas, you know, if you don't have a driving license in Texas, you can have a voter registration card and you can't vote.
Well,
not everybody has a driving license.
You can ask for your fabulous lawyer and all the rest of them are too. They can go on and ask for all their extras, but you can vote if you go to the right places that say you can.
Miss, if that were true, with just the voter registration card, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. Okay, the lawyer that I have sitting next to me spends her day protecting people's rights to vote. And she is here to tell you that as a practical matter, in many states throughout the country, that is not the case. And
well,
we are
what you're,
you know,
saying,
yeah.
And it is important that we know that we have rights. And as a voting official myself, I've had to catch people, and guess who they were? African Americans who were sliding instead of doing their job as officials with me.
Well, I hope you continue to do what you're doing, seriously. But I want everybody to be involved, seriously. Thank you very much, though, Carol, for calling in. Thank you. Marcia, tell us a little more about what other efforts are being made throughout the country to dilute the vote, and what can we do about it?
Yeah, so you were making the very important point that you have the right, but are you able to exercise that right?
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about voter ID, which is, restrictive forms of voter ID,
mm-hmm.
which is keeping eligible registered voters from being able to exercise that right. Other ways in which that is being done is that there's states like Arizona and Kansas, Alabama, Georgia, that have passed laws that said you have to show documentary proof of citizenship when you register to vote. So again, what that means is when I register to vote, I have to have a copy of my birth certificate, or someone like me that's an immigrant, my naturalization papers
mm-hmm.
with my voter registration. You know, in other states, you actually sign and say, I pledge that I'm a citizen
mm-hmm.
on the penalty of perjury.
Yes,
and that's
enough.
Has always been enough. But
yeah.
Now they're saying that you have to supply this extra paper proof before you could even register to vote. That's
wow.
one law that states are passing. States are also taking away opportunities such as early voting. North Carolina, for example, which was covered under Section 5, 40 counties in North Carolina were covered under Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. right after the Shelby decision that took away the protections of the Voting Rights Act, they not only passed a restrictive photo ID law, they also said they cut back on early voting. They even used to have same-day registration, which gives an opportunity for you to be able to register and mm-hmm. vote in the same day. They took that away. They also imposed a law that said if you vote in the wrong precinct, that vote is not going to count. And this is really important because a lot of people don't realize that if you move, you have to update your voter registration because your voter registration ties you to a certain precinct,
okay,
the precinct in your neighborhood. So people think, oh, I registered once and I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
But if, whenever you move, you have to
update
that registration. So if I'm living same city, mm-hmm. but I move across town mm-hmm. and I didn't update my voter registration because I didn't know,
mm-hmm.
So everyone in my neighborhood is going down to the church to vote.
Yeah.
So I go down to the church to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And they can look me up on the state database and see, okay, I'm registered to vote in the state. But because I'm at the wrong precinct, mm-hmm. I did the act of voting, but that vote is not going to count.
Wow.
Because they've passed a law saying if you're at the wrong precinct, your vote isn't going to count.
Wow.
And so these are also other ways in which vote is being restricted. Early voting. When you look at how we vote today,
mm-hmm.
you have one day to vote.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a holiday.
But
you have to go to work. You have to get your kids to school. And in between that, you have to vote
yeah.
at your home precincts. So if you work far away from where you live,
wow,
you've got to try to get
right.
there before you go to work
mm-hmm.
or try to get home in time at the end of the day
mm-hmm.
to go to vote at your precinct. So they had been opening opportunities early voting.
Yeah.
2 weeks before the election day.
And a lot of us voted then.
It's
very quietly. Yeah.
Because it gives a lot of us that opportunity
mm-hmm.
that we may not have on that single day.
Yeah.
To be able to vote. Churches were doing souls to the polls.
Right.
You go to church on Sunday, then everyone gets in the church van and you have the car.
Right, right.
And you go down and you can vote. They took that away.
Well, when we say they took, who is it that's doing this that we need to go after?
So these are the state legislatures.
Okay, so we need to identify the state legislatures that are doing this.
Right.
And we need to let them know that we know this and that we will vote against them.
Right.
We really do. We really need on a state by state, county by county effort politically to say, hey, we're noticing what you're doing, and if you don't change the law, we will get rid of you and put somebody else in there.
And just to put a fine point on that, so 2008 was a very historic election.
Yes.
More people turned out than ever before.
Yeah.
Voted in the first black president.
Mm-hmm.
In 2010, they were midterm elections. That's where you vote for your member of Congress. They may have been state elections, but particularly those midterm elections, people didn't turn out as before. And a lot of state legislators flipped majorities.
Mm-hmm.
Right after those elections, this is when we saw this proliferation of restrictive voting laws.
Because people got in that we didn't vote for. Right.
And people got in who had an interest
mm-hmm.
in restricting opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So right after the 2010 election is when we saw this proliferation of these restrictive voter ID laws. So it gets back to the
point that was on purpose.
If you don't use your voice and vote, the people who are passing the laws may not be doing so in your interest.
Well, obviously they're not. Obviously they're doing it against us. And we need to be vigilant about it, and we need to get rid of them. Pure and simple. It doesn't matter what party they're in either.
Right,
that's
being a democracy.
Yeah,
you
that is.
You hold your elected officials accountable, and you engage in the process.
Yeah, and if you don't engage, then they will walk over you.
Yeah.
And we can complain all we want, but if we don't engage, then we run the risk of things going backwards. What other kind of things are you seeing with reference to attempts by whoever to challenge the effect of voting?
Well, I mentioned the cutbacks to early voting, the proof of citizenship laws for
mm-hmm.
voter registration, getting rid of same-day voter registration, limiting the opportunity for students to be able to vote. Those are the things that on one side, people are pushing and trying to restrict the ballot. But I do want to mention that there are also efforts to increase the ballot. So we have this tension between those who wanted to restrict opportunity and then also people who are trying to increase opportunity.
What are they doing? Tell us about those.
So I mentioned same-day registration. Because right now, most states have a system where if you don't register 30 days before election day, you can't vote. And you mentioned we have the election protection program. And one of the saddest calls we get when we have a nationwide hotline, 866-OUR-VOTE, that voters can call. One of the saddest calls we get is when someone says, I want to vote. You know, they call on election day, I want to vote. And we say, did you register? They didn't know they needed to register.
Okay, then people need to know you have to register in order to vote.
Deadlines.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we need to start telling people about that. Yeah.
They vary by state because each state has its own election laws. We don't have a national standard election laws.
Maybe we need one. That would scare the daylights out of the states, but maybe we need to do that.
Our Constitution gives the states.
I know.
The rights to determine voter qualifications. And so same-day registration, if I, you know, I'm living my life, I'm hustling, and I say, oh, there's an election coming up, but I can show up on election day, register, and vote. And we have the technology and the ability to allow that to happen. So that's something that's important. Another reform that some states are pushing, Oregon put it in place this year, is automatic voter registration. Think about this. If you're a male in this country, you turn 18,
you have
get
to
your selective service card. Mm-hmm. They find you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They're going to find you. Yeah.
So why can't they do the same with voting? That instead of I having to vote, find out how to register to vote and how to get my card in, you're automatically registered to vote if you're a citizen and you turn 18, and that registration moves with you, so you're not in that situation of being in the wrong precinct.
Right,
that
would be
great. And not having your vote count.
Yes, yes.
So automatic, and also because, you know, we're a free country and not everyone wants to vote, you also have the opportunity to opt out and say,
I don't want to be automatically registered.
To vote. So
how do you get that? How do you get that into becoming a part of the law?
So each state would have to pass.
So you need to vote people in that support that.
You'd have to vote state legislatures in
and
governors because they have to sign the laws.
Okay.
In place that would support expanding opportunity to be able to vote.
All right.
Because the reality is there are over 50 million people who are eligible to vote but aren't registered.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of people.
And just think about how the impact those people, if they engage and registered and vote, can have on policies across our country.
You know, one of my good friends mentioned in a telephone conversation the other day, we were just all lawyers just talking, and, you know, he's of a different race, and he was saying he didn't understand why black people didn't vote. He just didn't understand it, and especially in local elections and things like that, because we have so much power that we don't use. And, you know, by not using it, it allows other people to discriminate against us and to do things that we could make a difference in if we just used our power to vote. So you're saying that if we all registered to vote, and if we all voted, we could revolutionize the whole country. I read a lot, and I remember reading years ago Johnson's, LBJ, Leonard Bain Johnson's biography. There was a three-part book series on it. And one of them, in one of them, I forgot which one it was, long before he even became president, Lyndon Bain Johnson noticed that black people had stopped automatically voting for Democrats. Those of us who did vote had stopped. And that in the North, in particular, we were starting to vote Republican. And it scared him to death. And that had a lot to do with his movement toward helping black people. And that was years ago. Yeah. Years ago.
I mean, politicians are self-interested, right?
Of course they are.
They're going to push the policies about those who vote for them, because how do they get into office?
By being voted in.
And, you know, in 2014, one of the saddest statistics is that 2014 was the lowest turnout to vote in over 70 years.
That's sad.
So you can say, oh, I'm not going to vote. Why does it matter? It matters because we are now dealing with policies that only a few people voted to get in to have that happen without engaging. I mean, that's the reality of a democracy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want any other form of government.
Mm-hmm.
We want to live in a democracy where we have a voice. But you have to participate in that democracy. And when you don't vote, you're giving someone else your voice, and they may not be talking about something that you care about or want to.
Or they may be doing something that hurt you.
And yes.
Wow. I would love to see some artists, some rap artists or some musicians or somebody come out and say, it's cool to vote. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's cool to vote, and have the voter registration card become like a symbol. You know, instead of you get your Jordan sneakers, get your voter registration card.
Much cheaper than the Jordan.
It sure is, you know. And then have somebody else show in every state what you need to do in order to get that voter registration card. And do it like, you know, 6 months to a year ahead of time. And then have the churches make sure all of their people, way before the elections get going, because you can find out if you're registered to vote.
Yes, you can.
You know, and maybe that's something that you can give me information, and I'll be glad to pass it on the program. How each state, or how you go about ensuring that you can vote, and when and how and where you go and get that information. Because if you give me that information, I'll be glad to share it with my audience.
I would happily pass that along. And I should mention that most states, on their websites, the Secretary of State website, because the Secretary of State is usually responsible for administering elections, you can go in to most states and put your name in, and it'll
tell you
confirm your voter registration.
And
another reform that's being pushed is online voter registration.
That would be great.
Where you can go online and put in your information and register to vote. Unfortunately, it's in many instances, it's limited to only those who have a driver's license, because they want to see that you have a signature on file somewhere, and they can match that signature.
Okay.
But we are pushing to open up that process to include even those who don't have driver's licenses. But you can right now go on your most states' websites, on the Secretary of State website, and verify your voter registration.
Okay, I want you to give me specifics so that people can know, you know, is there a particular link you have to go to and so on like that. But is it enough, though, like in Texas, is it enough to show that you're registered?
No.
So that's what we need to know.
There's three very important things that we tell voters.
Okay.
So one is voter registration. Are you
registered?
You got to
be registered. Yes.
If you did register at some point, verify that you're still on the rolls.
Okay.
Because
that's what you find out when you go online.
Right. You can verify I'm still there, and it's tied to my address. So if I live in one of those states like Florida and North Carolina where I voted the wrong precinct and it doesn't count, you know, you want to make sure that your registration is tied to your address and you have the right precinct.
And if you've moved, there's a way to change the address?
Update your voter registration.
All right.
Secondly, do I need ID to vote?
Okay.
And it's not just generally any ID.
All right.
And then you want to know what type of identification.
Is that on the website?
So, yeah, in the most states, the Secretary of State website, and also the Election Protection website.
What is that? Can you give us that website?
866. Our Vote.
Oh, yeah.
.org.
Okay, we're going to give that out each week. 866-OURVOTE.org. Okay?
So that's a one-stop place. No matter where you live,
you
can go, click on your state, and it tells you what type of ID you need to vote. It tells you your voter registration deadlines. And
oh, really? Okay, so the deadline is on there, too.
Yes.
Okay.
And you're constantly updating the website so you're aware of when.
So this is a website that you all manage.
Yes.
Excellent.
Committee.
Okay.
And then, so you want to verify your registration. You have a voter registration, be able to verify it, know what ID you need. And then you also want to know what precinct you have to vote.
Okay.
Because most states, they... if you're at the wrong precinct, they will give you a provisional ballot, and you're thinking, oh, this ballot is going to count.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's one of those states that have the law that if you voted the wrong precinct, your vote doesn't count, you're doing something, you think you're voting, but that is, you're throwing away that vote because it's going to be at the wrong precinct. So being educated about those three things, registration, ID, and precinct, can really ensure that you can cast a ballot and have that ballot count.
Okay, so I want everybody listening in Texas, Mississippi, wherever you are, New York, wherever, Connecticut, Alabama, I don't care where you are, Tennessee, I want everybody to go to 866ourvote.org. Find out if you are registered, if your mother's registered, if your grandmother's registered, your father's registered, your brother's. Anybody over 18, I would like you to go to your to that thing, go to your state, 866ourvote.org, find out if they are registered, find out what ID you need to have when you go in to register, and what precinct you have to go to register. And if they're not, then that same website can tell you what the deadline is for registering and how you go about registering. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, I really want everybody to do this, not just for yourself, but for your parents, your grandparents, your uncles, your aunts, everybody who thinks they're cool and they're over 18. You need to be doing this. And if you have any questions about this, Marcia, can you give us the office number or the number for the voting Is there a voting hotline? Yes. What is that, please?
And it's the same number. It's 866-OUR-VOTE.
Oh, okay. 866-OUR-VOTE.
So if you have any questions or if you run into any problems, you can call the hotline and we will follow up and work with you and we'll help you to work through any obstacles you have in being able to vote.
Okay. And I want our churches to get involved. Make sure everybody in your church is registered to vote and has the identification that they need. And if you need help with that, call the hotline to help with that. I mean, are you all helping in Texas with people who are having difficulties voting?
Yeah, we are part of the Election Protection Coalition includes a wide range of organizations. And some of those organizations work with voters to help them to get the ID that they need. They're, in fact, organizations that are interested in raising the money that people will need to get that birth certificate.
Ah, yes, yes. Okay, that's a good idea. We pay for everything else. We could do that.
Right.
Yeah.
And most states that have restrictive ID laws, they have a provision that says you don't have to pay to get the ID, and they would give you a voting ID. But oftentimes what they do is say, oh, but you have to have that birth certificate. So you, they would say, oh, you're not paying for the ID, but you really are because you have to pay for the
birth certificate anyway.
To get the ID.
Right. Okay. Okay. Well, then, you know, let's not wait until the last minute on this.
Yeah.
This is too important. We need to make sure not only are you, you know, because if you don't use the vote, if you don't have the vote, that's one thing. If you have the vote and you don't use it, that's another thing. But we really want to make sure that everybody is voting and that you are voting in every election.
Yes.
Not just in the presidential election. So in programs coming up, I'm going to want to try and talk about why you need to vote for judges, why you need to vote for the mayor, why you need to vote for the Board of Elections or Board of Trustees or for your schools and sheriffs and all that kind of stuff. Because that's where the rubber meets the road, as they would say where I'm from.
And if I can add just one more thing. You know,
sure,
we started
please.
Talking about the Voting Rights Act
yes.
When we started the conversation. So I would also urge people to call their members of Congress and tell them you want them to give the full protections of the Voting Rights Act back. Because right now there's a bill in Congress to address what the Supreme Court did in 2003. We need a full Voting Rights Act, because if Congress doesn't act in 2016, it will be the first election in 50 years, presidential election in 50 years without the full protections of the Voting Rights Act.
And if they're showing out already, you know they're going to really do bad for that. Trying to steal the election. I'm going to say it. We're going to have to really, really assert and use the power that we fought so hard to get.
Yes.
I mean, we really are going to have to do that. Wow. What would you like to say in closing, because we're almost time to close, to encourage people and to give out the phone number, the information, and how they can reach you if they have any questions?
So, you know, John Lewis, who is a member of Congress from Georgia, and, you know, literally was beaten and, you know, almost killed in trying to get the right to vote. You know, he says that in a democracy, the right to vote is sacred. And it's, you know, there are no truer words. You know, when Lyndon Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act, he saw that by giving African Americans the opportunity to be able to vote, that's how we would get the policies we need to transform our lives. And we need to seize this right that we have, because as we've been talking about today, if we don't use it, we're in danger of losing it. And we don't want to wait until we get back to a time when we don't have the right anymore. And then we're fighting from scratch. You know, we lives were lost. It took, from the time of the 15th Amendment that gave blacks the right to vote, it took to 1865. It took until 1965 with the passage of the
100 years
to give black people full voting rights. We don't want to have to go back and go over another 100-year period. I mean, this is really crucial and important. We have the right, and as you were saying, we just shouldn't exercise it for the presidential elections.
Not just for that.
Every election. Because those local elections are the ones that really matter for your day-to-day life.
It does.
And I'm really glad that you're going to be providing information going
on
about
what's
happening with local elections. Because we do have that education deficit of, where do I find this information? How do I know who's running? And we all need to take the responsibility for getting that information out so that everyone is informed, they know what's going on, and they vote.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Marcia. Thank you very much for everything that you do and that the Lawyers Committee is doing. And I want all of my listeners, please go to www.866OurVote.org. There you can look and see for every state what the process is.
Yes.
How do you register to vote? What, even if you've registered, what the ID requirements are and what precinct you have to go. Go to your own state, Secretary of State, and find out, are you registered? Is your mother registered? Is your father registered? Is anybody that's important? If you're 18, are you registered? That should become the new, you know, what do you call that? Rite of passage.
Yes.
Okay? You should become registered to vote. That should be part of becoming an adult American. And then you should exercise that right. That's more important than anything else that we can teach our children to do. And please be in touch with the Lawyers Committee or with the groups that they can identify for you in your particular state. And make sure that you are a part of the process. We mobilized to get Obama elected. He did a lot. It may not have been everything we wanted, but he did a lot. A lot of people have health insurance. A lot of people are a whole lot better off than they were before, and we have to keep the process going. It does not need to stay. So thank you so much, Marcia. Thank you so much for coming. We really, really appreciate it. And I look forward to getting more information from you and putting it out there, because this is really, really important. You've been listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. Please tune in next week, and we will have another good program for you. Thank you, and have a good week. Take care of yourselves. Good night.
WOL Washington, WPRS HD2 Waldorf, WKYS HD2 Washington, WMMJ HD2 Bethesda, a Radio 1 station, and worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today.
The only thing I didn't learn today.
The only thing I didn't learn
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn those earrings today. I like those earrings. Gabby has those awesome earrings. I need to ask her where